Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
So God, we just go before you, Lord, and we thank you. And we praise you and exalt you. We magnify you, God. Lord, I pray, Lord, across this country that righteousness will rise up. And it'll be the prevailing factor, oh God. Lord, that this country can be taken back and can be done away with all the abominations, all the transgenderism and homosexuals and pedophiles and those mutilators and all these just really some bad, evil stuff. Lord, bind it all, rebuke it all in the name of Jesus. Help us, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And so, Father, I'm praying now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. Bless this message, oh God. I pray, Lord, that we would be built up and edified. And, Lord, that you would speak to us, Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit and by the written word. So be glorified, be magnified, be high and lifted up. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen. Did you bring your Bibles?
Amen.
Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to do our best to expound verses 3 through 7. 3 through 7. Amen. Let's go here. If you have your cell phones, fax machines, scanners on, put them on the silent or off position. Amen. I've entitled this morning's message, Jesus, Help Us Through This Life. Jesus, help us through this life. We've been receiving calls this past week, the week before, of people that are hurting. People that we need to go pray for. People that are going through atrocious things. Our brother, our wonderful brother Geronimo, wanted to be here this morning, but he's in dire pain. And he can't get comfortable. And we pray for him. We pray for those that are going through. Some people are financially strapped, burdened. Some people are a paycheck away from going homeless. Just imagine if you get laid off and where's the source of income coming now? There's people hurting throughout this life. There's people hurting across the land. There's people hurting within our own family. Some of us have large families. Some of us have small families. But we know someone that's hurting. Some of us are going through physical afflictions. Ailments, back ailments. Autoimmune diseases. And yet, we as the church, we still press toward the prize in the call in Christ Jesus. We need to understand, we need to be like the Apostle Paul. He would always say, nevertheless, not what? Not my will, but thy will be done. There have been many times I wanted to just throw in the towel and say, man, I'm tired, Lord. I'm tired, Lord. But I see the prize ahead of me.
That's right.
I see that none of them quit. None of the apostles, disciples, none of them quit. And we are to keep pressing. Amen. And so are we there, 1 Peter? 1:3-7. And the word of God reads, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to the abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Look at this, verse 4. "To an inheritance incorruptible," meaning we're going to receive the most glorious gift from God that'll never be corrupted. It'll never be defiled. Look at this, and undefiled, and that does not fade away. We're talking about a permanent state of living. A body that'll never die. It'll never decay. It's a glorious inheritance. Look at this. It's reserved in heaven for you. Hallelujah. Reserved.
Thank you, Lord.
Come on. If God reserved this for you, then don't you think He can see you through what you're going through now?
Yep. That's right.
Hang in there. Hang in there. Look at this. "Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." We are in the last days now. "In this you greatly rejoice." Does this say to walk around in sorrow? Does this say to walk around in a pity party? Does this say to hang your head? No. It says, "For this in you you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials." And we have, all of us have. Like the trial that I had where I go, man, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. Those are things that come up in your life where sometimes you're not even thinking right. Because you're overwhelmed. When you become overwhelmed, you don't think right.
That's right. That's right.
And then God had to shake me up and says, "Look, look what you're going to receive. Keep going."
Amen.
Look at this, verse 7. "That the genuineness of your faith, being much more than precious gold." Did you know your faith in Christ is more precious than gold?
Wow.
I don't care how much gold Fort Knox has. I don't care how much King Tut has buried away. It doesn't matter. It don't matter how much gold that Russia and China has. It says your faith is more precious than that. You know why? Because we're the only ones that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's our faith. Hallelujah. We have the faith to believe that God Almighty came down and saved a wretch like me. Come on. Woo, thank you, God. Look at this. "In this you greatly rejoice." Man, look, "in the genuineness of your faith, being much more than precious than gold that..." See, it says gold that perishes. In other words, the gold will perish in the fire. Look at this. "Though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory of the revelation of Jesus Christ." Your faith is going to be tested by fire.
Yep.
Hallelujah.
Right.
And if you haven't gone through fire yet, keep on living. You're going to be going through something, and it'll seem like you're going through some fire.
Yep.
Woo! Come on. It's not too long ago, some of us, man, were going, "Oh my gosh!" Oh, come on. And so, right up here, throughout the world, people are hurting. We know that. And the reasons vary, but many of us ask the same question. And here's one of the questions that I would ask myself. I'm not ashamed to ask this question, because we still live in a body of flesh, amen? We still live in this body that still has doubt and unbelief at times. But the question would be this: where's God in all this? Where is He? But Lord, I'm want to know. I'm going through this. God, can't you feel the pain?
Yes, he can.
Can't you feel the pain, God?
Thank you, Lord.
You see, my friends, when difficulties and heartaches are overwhelming, we often struggle to make sense out of the entire situation. When we don't know why the Lord is letting this happen, or how you and I should respond, we remain trapped in our own misery. And we find ourselves there. Peter wrote a letter to a group of Christians who were in the same kind of situation. Look at this in 1 Peter 1 and 4 through 5. Look at this. He wrote to an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled. We just read this. We're going to read it again. And that does not fade away. He had to encourage those who were being persecuted. Do you just imagine the ones that he was sharing this letter with, but years prior, he was invading their home. He was Saul of Tarsus. He was the original drive-by. He wouldn't come with a subpoena. They'd come and crash your door down and drag you out by the hair if you had any. And they would throw you to the lions. They would let the gladiators do what they're going to do with you in the arenas. They would burn you. They would behead you. And so when Paul or Saul of Tarsus had that revelation come and God radically saved them and changed them, then God gave him revelation of the word. And that's why he wrote to Peter. Peter wrote this. Paul wrote, understood it. But look what Peter wrote here. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled. My.
Thank you, Lord.
My. It's amazing, huh?
Yes.
Amazing. He reminded them that they had an imperishable inheritance waiting in heaven. Furthermore, saints of God, God was protecting them through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. How many so blessed to know that God was waiting patiently for you? Huh?
Thank you, Lord.
That God did not give up on you? God said, nuh-uh, I'm not coming just yet because I have you and you and you and you and you and you. Still to save. Thank you, God. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. All those saints of God, they could lose everything on earth. They would never lose their salvation or their heavenly inheritance. Aren't you so blessed? Despite of what happens, I don't care. I don't care if this nation falls apart. If it blows up, I don't care. We're going to be with Him. We have an inheritance. It's an incorruptible one. We're going to live with it forever.
Yeah.
Peter advised them to rejoice in this promise, even though they were presently experiencing various trials. Let me just ask this question, saints of God. How many are you going through something right now? The prophet told me this morning to come and just lay hands. Bless you in Jesus' name. Whatever you're going through. Whatever you're going through right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Pray for these knees right now.
Hallelujah.
Sister, whatever you're going through. I saw your hand. Brother, I saw your hand. Whatever you're going through. Bless them right now. Encourage them, oh God. Hallelujah. Let them know, oh God. Hallelujah. There's hope in you. There's hope in Christ. Sister, I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not going to believe what the report that they said that, I'm going to believe that you're whole, you're well. Hallelujah. God's going to allow you to prosper and nothing's wrong with you. Hallelujah. I need you to have a mind made up that you're going to believe the report of the Lord. For the report of the Lord says, I am whole, I am well, and I am healed. In the name of Jesus. And God's going to give you long life like your papa. In the name of Jesus. Shadabokotorobo. Hikarabasa. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I saw your hand back here, sister. Strengthen Sister Vera right now. Strengthen her. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Bless her hands, her heart. Bless her home. Bless her feet. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Shadaboko. Ikaraba. Bless this servant right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Sister, come here, sister. Sister, come here. Hallelujah. No, you come here. Bless this mother right now. Bless this servant right now. Bless her, oh God. Lord, hallelujah. Bless her. Give her wisdom. Hallelujah. For her children, her grandchildren, her husband. Bless her. Bless her home, oh God. Bless these hands. And bless her feet where you carry her. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Pray for this man of God right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father God, I pray for Brother Lafayette right now. Bless him, oh God. Lord, we love him. Lord, Lord, he's meant so much to this ministry. Lord, continue to bless him. Pour out your spirit upon him. Bless his children, his grandchildren, oh God. Hallelujah. His family that's up north, oh God. Bless him, God, in the name of Jesus. And we bind the spirit of diabetes right now, in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. We take authority of it over that now, in the name of Jesus. Ooh, come on, give God a shout. I pray for my wife. Hallelujah. She's so precious. She's so dear. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sister Yolanda's been my all in all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, she's never left my side, oh God. In the name of Jesus, she prays for me. Hallelujah. She serves me, oh God. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, she serves the saints here. She serves, Lord. She pours out every day, oh God, in her life. Lord, pour back in her your love, your grace, your power, your anointing. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray, hallelujah. Hallelujah for Lola right now. In the name of Jesus. Lord, hallelujah. Lord, I'm praying, Lord, she won't need this helper no more. This walker, oh God, Lord. Strengthen her. Hallelujah. Heal her, God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And Father, I pray, Lord, hallelujah for Sister Tammy. I pray for this back right now in the name of Jesus. Bless her. Bless her from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet. In the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Give him a shout of praise in the house. Come on, is he worthy? He's worthy, worthy, worthy. Hallelujah. So saints of God, although our pain and trouble may seem pointless to us, God has a divine purpose for everything he allows in our life. Can I get an amen?
Yes, he does.
So you must have to understand, when the conversion that Paul went through, Saul of Tarsus then into Paul, the revelation that God gave him was, number one, he needed to be patient now. He needed to rest upon the Lord. Because he had a whole lot of zeal when he was a religious rabbi. He had a whole bunch of zeal. And one of the things that he had determined was to destroy all the Christians. But when God saved him, he wrote the book of Romans. And look what he says right here in Romans 8:28. And we know that what? All things, say that with me. All things work together for good. To those who love God, you gotta look at that scripture right there. To those who what? If you don't love God, this doesn't pertain to you. This is you've disqualified yourself if you don't love God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. To those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. And so one of the things is evident in our life. One of the things that we can see the proof is he's transforming you. day by day. You weren't the same when he first found you. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. You're not. You've grown now in the faith. Now you're becoming more mature in the faith. You're understanding the Word of God. We're not there yet, but we're thriving to be there. And that's what this means. He also predestined to be conformed. What? That we would be conformed to the image of His Son. In other words, every day we're changing, we're being more like Him. That He might be the firstborn among who?
Many brethren.
The many brethren. Praise God. Praise God. Look at verse 30 here. Moreover, whom He predestined, these also He called. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, God called you. And whom He called, these He also justified. Justified. Now, when you receive the justification of Christ, you know how He looks at you? Just as if you've never sinned. Thank you, God. Woo! And whom He justified, these He also glorified. Meaning, He sees the future tense. We don't see that. He does. He sees us in our glorified state. He sees us in that body that we're going to have, hallelujah, the speed of thought. We're going to be in a body that will not ever be corrupted. Can I get an amen in the house? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And because He is absolutely omnipotent, meaning all powerful, He could stop any hardship which comes our way. Did you know that? Did you know that He could stop the bleeding? Did you know that He can heal you? Did you know that He can make things crooked in your life straight again? I remember, it was a couple of years ago, one of my brother's relatives is brother-in-law had all kinds of offenses with the law, and he asked if he was trying to get his life right, but he had to go to court and he needed a character letter. I did more than that. I gave him a character letter, but I showed up in court.
That's right.
And I spoke on his behalf. And the judge dropped everything. God dropped it. Oh, he was destined for time. God. Listen, if you have faith in God, I went in there, prayed up. Say, God, touch this judge. Because one day this judge is going to have to stand against the judge. The judge of the universe. But saints of God, we know that He can stop anything. But if He doesn't, we know with certainty that He has allowed it in order to accomplish His purpose in you. Because a lot of times we want it done now. A lot of us want a Burger King life. A lot of us want it to have it our way. Okay, God, I'm done with this pain. Take it away now. But God allows it to happen sometimes, right? He lets you stew in it for a while. Not that He's playing with you. He's teaching you. He's teaching me. Come on. You can't just give your kid a candy and tell him to go away. Right? If they've done wrong, you need to let them know. Yeah, you got to take the Board of Education to the seat of their understanding. We get that. But then you got to let them know why you did it and why they shouldn't do it. And then you bring them back and you reconcile with them. So that when they go away from you, they know that there's no hate in their heart. They think that you have toward them.
Right.
because you correctly did it. You chastised them, you taught them, then you reconciled them. And then off they go with a brand new start. The slate was clean. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Look what 2 Timothy has in here for us. Look at this. 2 Timothy 1, 8, 9. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. Sometimes we got to let people know, hallelujah, what you're going through, so that they can pray with you. So they sometimes you got to put the enemy on blast too. Can I get amen?
Amen?
But look at this. But share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Wow. Before everything was spoken into existence, he already knew you and what you were going to go through and how he was going to resolve the issues. But he had to allow us to go through it. Can I get amen? So look at it like this. We went through the fire without being burned.
That's right.
Through the fire without being burned. However, saints, we don't usually understand sometimes what he's up to. And from our perspective, because, you know, down here, we're finite beings down here. We see through a little pea brain. He's infinite. He's majestic. Listen, he's bigger than all the Milky Ways. Because, listen, if you take all the galaxies that are up there, as far as the Hubble telescope can see, there's more beyond that. And yet, that's only the second heaven. The third heaven is above that, where he lives. Just imagine how vast that is. And yet God is bigger than all that. And he came down to this little speck called earth to die for us. You know, when you start thinking of what he did on our behalf, you should always owe your whole life to him. Say, oh God, thank you. Thank you, God. Look at this right up here. God uses life's trials to accomplish his secondary purposes. So let's look at some points here. Because although we may never know the specific reason for each difficulty that comes our way, we can know the Lord's secondary purposes in it. Let's look at this first point. To surface whatever is detrimental in our lives. You see, saints, we may have beliefs, attitudes, or actions which are not only hurting us, but are also damaging our relationship with God and with others. One of the things that is very, very easy to do is get together with people and talk about other people and slander their name. Let me just say this. Did you know that the Bible says that that is the work of the devil? If you're going to talk about other people, it's because you're praying for them. You're lifting them up. Help them, God. We lift them up to you, God. And if there's nothing good to say, say nothing at all. Keep your own opinion on that to yourself. Can I get amen? Since we're usually unaware of them, saints of God, the Lord uses pain to get our attention. So we'll recognize and deal with them. Oh, that's right. We don't love pain, do we? No, we want a roller coaster ride. We want a Disneyland ride, huh? Oh, yeah. You see, my friends, God loves you and I too much to let us blindly continue down this destructive path. Whatever path has led us to certain situations of life, did you know he'll come and rescue you?
Thank you, Lord. Thank you,
He will. You ever been entertained by an angel? I mean, I'm talking, because the Bible says you never know who you may entertain. An angel. I first just got saved, and I was headed to work at Western Lumber. I was on Broadway at the last Circle K there by Felipe's Pizza. I think you guys know where that area is. There's a Circle K was there. I went in there, and God had delivered me. One of my biggest things that I was delivered from was crystal meth. So God was healing my heart. But I was always looking for my heart. I was missing that little racing, you know, that pick me up. And I'll never forget. I walked in the Circle K. I said hi to the guy behind this, the cash register. Nobody was in there. And I went to the left, and I went to where the coffees were. So I got me a coffee. I was loading it up. And then I see a guy walk in, went right past the register, came right up to me. And he looked at me. He goes, "That's not good for you right now." I said, "What do you mean?" He goes, "It's not time yet. Put it down. Don't drink that." And so, you know, I was saved now. So it was an enemy to say, "What up?" Right. It just wasn't in me to do that. And so I set it down. He turned around, and I saw him walk past the cashier, and he went out the door. And so I sprinted. I go, "I want to go talk to him." As soon as I went outside, there was nobody there. There was nobody behind. There was no one on the side. My car was the only one parked in there. There was still no cars coming in yet. And I was convinced now, because I shared this with other believers. They said, "Oh, that was an angel that came to visit you." Because my heart would have been palpitating with the caffeine. And God was healing my heart from the crystal meth. Because I was always amped up. So he came and says, "You're not ready for this right now." Now, a year went by. I think a year or two later, then I had my coffee. But he was right, because my heart would have raced. And I wouldn't have felt, you know, I would have, just put it this way, God knew what was best for me. And he sent an angel. It was an angel. It had to be, because he wasn't there no more. And so you never know who you're going to entertain. And if it's for your good, receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. God's goal is to cleanse us by revealing sometimes even our own sin and drawing us to confession and repentance. One of the things, even as a believer, we must be faster than an unbeliever. An unbeliever will take years before they repent. We don't know when they're going to repent. But as believers, it should be right away. Because we know better, right? Well, King David, he brought on his own issues that God had to expose and gave him two options. King David had two options. Either to live a life of rebellion towards God, or to turn to him with a heart of repentance. Let me just share this. Repentance is so vital. And remember, I learned what repentance in the Hebrew means. Okay, you know, we all say, you know, making about face, and, you know, that's in the English vernacular. That's in an English way of thinking. But in the Hebrew, it means burn up that house and run to God. Burn up that house and run to God. And so King David had no other choice but to repent before God. And we see this because one of the things that King David did, because he was a man of war, he had blood on his hands. He could never build the temple. God said, "You're a man of war. You will never build the temple, but your son will." So Solomon built the temple, but King David couldn't. He had too much blood on his hands. But King David had a heart after God. This is what I love about the saints in here. You're here because you love God. You love what He's done in your life. You love what He's doing in your life. You love what He's about to do in your life. And if we have that mindset, God will always be there to help us in every way. Because King David understood this. Look at this in Psalms 51 right up here. This is when he sinned with Bathsheba. He took one man's only wife and took her for himself. And the prophet called him on it. And he had two choices: to kill the prophet or to repent. And what did he do? He fell on his face. And this is what he said: "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgression." So that transgression was an action. Look at this. "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." The iniquity was this: his lust for something that was not his, especially a woman that belonged to another man. That's iniquity. "And cleanse me from my sin." Look at this right up here, verse 3. "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned." This is what we have to come to a conclusion. Yeah, you might have sinned. You may have hurt someone. But guess what? The transgression and the sin was more so against God. "You only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge." And then now he's telling God what God already knew, what he was made of. But now he's giving it to God. Look how I am, God. Because God allowed him to see the good, the bad, and the ugly that was in him. And so now he's giving God all his ugly. Look at this in Psalm 51:5. "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom." Now he's saying, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be" what?
Whiter
"than snow." Look at verse 8 up here. "Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice." In other words, he was crushed. And he needed to come from that place of being crushed by God. God's heavy hand was on him. And when we sin as believers, his hand will come upon you. And it'll be a heavy hand on you until you get it right with him. Look at this. "Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." Look what he says. "Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me." Wow. Saints of God, if you only understood that last part. If we walk around with unconfessed sin, thinking everything's okay, saying praise the Lord with everyone, but yet you got some hidden sin, you will not feel His presence. Because light and darkness doesn't commingle. Until you deal with that sin, He'll come back and abide in you. This is why it's there in the Word. And if you don't believe me, then go find King David and ask him why he wrote it. Go find him. He'll tell you. Saints, here's the only way to fix it right with God. There's only one solution. It's right up here. Look at this. King David had the answer. After he gave up everything, he says, sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. These, oh God, you will not despise. In other words, you're before God like this, man. You're going, oh God, I've sinned against you. Oh God, forgive me. And when God has you on your face, don't move until something happens.
Amen.
Don't just get up, okay, I confessed it, I'm good. No, don't move until his presence comes. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Keep on crying out for him. Keep on crying for him. He'll come. But he wants to make sure that you do have a broken spirit and a contrite heart. Because then he will not despise those things. He will come. Because that's who God is. God is righteous. God is holy. God cannot lie. And it's written, he won't despise those things. So now, look at this. The trials and tribulations is to test our faith. How many of you have been tested? Look at this. God uses life's trials to accomplish his what? His purposes. Saints, when we were saved, our faith was rather basic and childlike. Remember when we first got saved? Oh, man, I was like, I couldn't stop telling people about Jesus. You know, trials. And then people go, man, you know, I'm going through right now. Like, really? What does that mean? Because when you first get saved, it's so great. It's so fun. It's so joyous. And then God allows you now in time to go through something. We didn't know much, but when Jesus had died for us and he rose again, remember he told them to go wait for the promise? So they went to the upper room, got the promise. When the Holy Ghost came, now they were filled with the Holy Spirit of God, the power of God to rule and reign with us. And this is what needs to be in your life more precious than gold. The Holy Ghost living inside you. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Our Heavenly Father considers faith, as I once mentioned, more precious than gold. He wants us to grow and trust him for more than our own salvation. Did you know that? Salvation was nothing to him. But it's your faith to believe that is more precious to him. We read this scripture. We'll read it again. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it tested by fire, may be found to the praise, honor, glory, and the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, saints of God, to understand how he tests our faith, he lets us compare to, like, muscle strengthening. I think my brother right now is working out. I bet the first day you hit them irons, you couldn't even walk. You're going to lift up your hands. You couldn't lift up your arm. No, no. That's right. That's right. Yes. Well, you know what? When you work out physically like that, God is saying, work out your salvation no differently. Because you had to begin with lifting small weights. Then it gradually got better, right? Well, in the same way, saints of God, God grows our faith through situations that increase the pressure and require greater trust. So in other words, he's going to test you and test you and test you. And he first starts off a little test, and there comes a bigger one. You know what he's doing? He's refining us. That's right. He's, because look, all our life before we got saved, we was what? Misfits. We were doopty-doos. Come on. We were so rebellious. Come on, we were rebellious to our parents. We lied to them. We lied to our teachers. Some of us didn't even finish school. We lied to the law. Some of us been incarcerated. Come on, some of us been there and done it. Been there and done it. Can I get amen? And so when we get saved, there should be enough sense. I'm gonna get real right now. Let me just say it like this. Back in the day, when I used to roll with my buddies, with the homies, we used to party all night. And if we had too many, we would call somebody out. And we would knuckle down. We would knuckle down. Because, you know, that macho thing, man, I'm better than you. You remember that? So we go knuckle down, right? And we knuckle down, man, until either one gave up or they had to come in and break it. Because it could have got really ugly, right? And then the next day, or even that same night, you're hugging each other. Come on, man. Man, come on, man. We're still homies, right? Come on, man. You know what? And we're, but in the church... In the church, you look at somebody wrong and they're gone. You say something, oh man, I'm out of here. I can't believe he said that. There was more grace in the street. Can I get an amen? Oh, come on. You can get hurt. Your feelings hurt in church and run. Woo! I can't believe it. And yet you used to knuckle it down with the best of them in the day. But can't handle it in church. Help us, God. Help us, God. I'm just telling it like it is. In church, I've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. The ugly. There's some ugly. You see, what God wants us to grow is our what? Our faith. Look at this right up here. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Listen, so what if someone says something in church? You know what? You should have Teflon faith. Just let it slide off. Man, you know what? You're still my brother. You're still my sister. Come on. Come on. Come on. Get over it. Come on. Get past it. Come on. We need to walk around as justified believers. Yes. But no. Saints, it's fairly easy to trust him to heal a cold. But what happens when we face serious illnesses, a financial crisis, unemployment, or the loss of a loved one? Where do we go there now? Oh yeah, he healed my cold, but now look at this. You see, when we walk through each trial, depending on the Lord, our faith increases. It's supposed to. It's made that way to increase. Then when a harder challenge comes, saints, we can remember how he led us previously and how he will lead us the rest of the way. And a lot of times going through trials and tribulations is this third point, to test our devotion to God. Are you truly devoted to him? Commitment to the Lord is revealed by our willingness to obey him. Can you obey God You heard me talk about our BC years before Christ. We don't obey nothing. And where I grew up in National City, we were so poor we couldn't even pay attention. I'm being real. 11 of us in a 3-bedroom, 1-bath house. That's kids. Then mom and dad. And then grandma. Well, there were 14 of us in a 3-bedroom home. I saw some things. I saw some things. Well, we used to have things standing in the corner all by themselves. Those were socks. So, saints, commitment to the Lord is revealed by our willingness to obey Him. Can we learn to obey Him? When He gives us a challenging situation which seems beyond your ability, my ability, you and I, saints of God, we must choose whether to obey His will or go our own way. Or say, stand aside, God, I got this. See, we have to comprehend that He has given us His Holy Spirit to enable and strengthen us to accomplish whatever He's calling you and I to do. And how many believe that you've been called? We've all been called. And if you've been called and you're one of His children, then apply this scripture to your life. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Say that with me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Praise God. In the book of Luke, we see here that God wanted the disciples to have faith and to endure. This was during the scene at, we've been there, the Garden of Gethsemane. And it's found in Luke 22. Look at this. Luke 22:39. Coming out, He went to the Mount of Olives as He was accustomed, and His disciples also followed Him. And when He came to the place, He said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. Pray. You know, this is not just applying to the garden. This is applying to us. That whatever situation rises up in your life, you need to pray, is this one thing going to tempt me? Should I even be here? Can you go to a party where there's liquor everywhere and not get tempted to pick up a cold one? Or go to a family function and they blazing. Oh, come on, man. This is from one of them stores down the street now. Well, there's one right down here called what, Marcus? March and Ash. Come on, man. I was running from the popo, and now they got it right there. Lord, have mercy. Look at verse 41 here. And He was withdrawn from about a stone throw, and He went down and prayed, saying, Father, If it is your will, take this cup away from me. And nevertheless, not my will, but thy will, what? Be done. It's got to be God's way. Can I get amen?
Amen?
Sometimes the path that God has prepared for us, and if we follow it, sometimes it could be a lonely path. Sometimes it could be a path where there's not a whole lot of folks on that path with you. But that's okay. He's with you. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. There's some paths we have to take that's saying, God, I'm going to trust you. That you're going to pierce the darkness. And you're going to be there with me. The Apostle Paul was willing to endure his thorn in the flesh because the Lord promised to strengthen him and to use it to produce what? The humility he needed for continued ministry. I'm always saying, God, would you take this autoimmune disease from me? And I keep hearing God say the same thing he told the Apostle Paul. My grace is sufficient. This is what he wrote in Corinthians. Look at this. Lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation. A thorn in the flesh was what? Given to me. A messenger of Satan to buffet me. Man, God allowed a messenger from old Slewfoot. Lest I be exalted above measure. Look at this. Concerning the thing, I pleaded with the Lord. How many times?
Three times
that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. This is where we have to have a paradigm change. Whatever you're going through right now, say, nevertheless, let the power of God rest on me. And while I'm waiting for that day, I'm waiting for that healing to come, I'm waiting for the blessing to come, I'm still going to serve you, God. I'm still going to honor you, God. I'm still going to lift you up, oh God. I'm still going to pray for others, oh God. Can we come to that place? Look at verse 10 up here. Therefore, I take pleasure. He says, I take pleasure in infirmities. We want that thing gone right now. Look at this. I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Praise God. So let's move on now to this right up here. Look at this. The Lord's primary purpose is to conform us to the image of His Son. To conform us. To conform us. How many of you want to be conformed?
Yeah.
Then just learn to obey Him.
Yeah.
Learn to honor Him. Learn to love Him. Learn to trust Him. Can I get amen? Look at this. Because he wrote this in Romans. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Saints, according to that scripture, this is what he predestined or predetermined for his children, for us. Therefore, he allows whatever is necessary to make this a reality in your life, in my life. His goal is not to punish, but to transform us. Look at it in a positive way. It's to transform us. He's not punishing us. Look, we already live in a body of sin. Sin alone in this body will punish us. Because we still got to live out this body of sin. But it's to conform us, to transform us. Thank you, God. Look at this. In Romans 8:31, what shall we say to these things? That these things, if God is for us, who can be against us? Ask yourself this, saints. Who can be against you if God is for you? Nothing. nothing can come against you. If we fight against the process of God, we're in danger of suffering all the pain without receiving the benefits God wanted to achieve in our lives. So keep on pressing. However, when we yield to His sifting, His sanding, and shaping work, He'll make us into a beautiful representation of His Son. Remember, He is the what? Potter, and we're the clay. So allow us to be molded by Him. Amen? We're coming in for a close. Look at this. God has a process for developing Christ-like character. There's a process. Just because we get saved, if someone gets saved today, they're not a super saint tomorrow. There's a process. I got saved. It wasn't until 13 years later that I was given an opportunity to teach the word. It didn't come overnight. There's a process. God has a process for developing Christ-like character. You know why? Because look what He does here. Number one, He controls every trial. Did you know He controls every trial in your life? Did you know it's not for happenstance? Did you know whatever you're going through, He already saw it coming? And so He knows exactly how to watch over you. He sets the limit because His goal is to transform us, not to necessarily hurt us. Look what He wrote to the Corinthian church. No temptation is overtaking you except such as common to man. But God is faithful. Say that with me. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will also make the way of what?
Escape,
that you may be able to bear it. There it is. Hallelujah. You see, my friends, He designs trials to fit us. God's not going to put the same trial that's on you to me and what I'm going through to you. He designs it to fit us. Can I get an amen? Because He made us. So He knows how to mold us. He knows how to fix us. He knows, thank you God, what to do. In every situation, His actions are motivated by intimate knowledge of us and personal love for you and me. Look at what was written in the book of James. My brethren, counted what? Counted all sorrow. No. Counted all joy when you fall into various trials. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces what?
Patience.
Patience. But let every patience have its what? Perfect work. That you may be perfect and complete, lacking what?
Nothing.
God doesn't want us to lack anything. But guess what? He's molding and fashioning you to be that saint of God. Thank you, Lord. And He also uses this. Unfortunately, He does. He uses chastisement. You ever been to the whooping shed lately? Huh? God takes us to the whooping shed, don't He? As a loving Father, He disciples us in order to develop character within us. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
Although pain is involved, He's not given it for punishment, but for training. Know that if you're being chastised by Him, because He loves you, number one, and He wants the best for your life. Look what Paul wrote in Hebrews 12, 5 through 6. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. In other words, when God has to give you a nalgada, nor be discouraged when you're rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. Wow. God wants the best for your life. And he uses this. He uses afflictions. Wow. These trials are not the result of sin or rebellion at times, but are simply trials which come to us because of our environment. Things just happen. If the economy goes upside down and you get laid off, it wasn't because you were sinful. It happened in the environment you live in. But it becomes an affliction, like, wow, I'm afflicted in my wallet. Since we all have human bodies and live in a fallen world, saints, even godly people get sick and have accidents. We get that. However, each affliction is an opportunity for God to display the surpassing greatness of his power in us. How many of you love God's power living in you? Well, this is what he wrote. Look at this. In 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 9. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Say that with me. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That treasure, look at that. That the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Praise God. Praise God. Yes, thank you, God. Thank you, God. We're coming in to two more points and we're done. Number five, God's trials are progressive. He builds character and faith in us by increasing the pressure and intensity of adversity in our lives, saints. What we couldn't endure 10 years ago, we can now handle because our trust in God has grown. Can I get an amen? Amen. We can endure it now. Not when we were young and cried, we would. We would come up for prayer, I don't know, every altar call, I'll be up in there praying. Pray. Will you pray for me? Sister, brother, will you pray for me? But God says this, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be the glory now forever and amen. Can I get amen? Amen. Listen, our last point here is this. Our response to trials determine the outcome. Are you going to moan and complain? Or are you going to say, nevertheless, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Is that the way? I close out with this scripture. 1 Peter 1, look at this. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more than precious gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Amen. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Is he worthy? You know, I believe there are many people right now that are watching, that have logged in, Facebook and YouTube. Maybe you've never given your heart to the Lord, but maybe you're going through a severe trial and you lost track on who to turn to. I'm here to let you know, turn to Jesus. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Turn to Him. Watch Him do the miraculous in your life. Watch Him do what you cannot do. And it's very simple. Just cry out to Him. But also for those who have never given their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's here to pray with me, to pray for you. And watch God do the miraculous in your life. Pray this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout. Is he worthy? Ooh, he's so worthy.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.